We're certainly glad that you're here this morning. We're here to worship God and in spirit and in truth, and we're glad to be able to do that together. I don't know if I'm hearing the air conditioner or hearing rain, but or both. But we're very thankful for the rain that God has given to us, and pray that He will continue to give us some rain as we need it. And also, these cooler temperatures are rather nice, aren't they? So we're glad to be able to worship in this cooler temperature. You probably recognize the Roman Colosseum there, interesting views. It shows the whole Colosseum, and it also shows the basement part of the Colosseum where the animals and also the gladiators would have been in that bottom part. Have you ever longed to take a trip to a place where you've never been before? Or have you ever wanted to revisit a place where you have traveled? Paul felt an intense desire to meet the Christians who lived in Rome. In Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 8, Paul wrote, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." That must mean he was a Southerner, for you all. "Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. Always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far." We learn in that text that he fully intended to enjoy a brief visit with them, and later in the last chapter of the book, he also emphasizes that this visit would be with them on the way to Spain. Paul said, "That I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company." But you know, things don't always work out exactly the way that we planned them. And I think certainly when we look at Paul's life, we can understand that statement. Paul had been arrested for preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He was imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years, and he ultimately felt that he was forced to appeal to Caesar. He appeared before King Agrippa and also Festus, and in the season which was not conducive for sailing, Paul was put aboard a grain ship sailing for Italy. And although Paul warned them not to leave fair havens, the captain set sail anyway. You remember that the ship ran aground and the lives of 276 people were endangered. But this time they heeded Paul's instruction and everyone reached the shore of the island of Malta safely. You may not can see it on the map, but on the far left towards the bottom where the arrow begins to go up, that's the little island of Malta. When Paul was putting firewood on a fire, a deadly viper bit his hand and hung on to him. And originally the island natives thought that he must be a terrible criminal for something like that to happen to him. But when he did not die, They thought he must be a god. Isn't that amazing how their concept changed from a criminal to a god? Before they left Malta, some 3 months later, Paul, we're told, healed many people of their diseases, and he earned the respect of everyone. In Acts chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, at the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. After we put in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. From there, we sailed around and arrived at Regium. And a day later, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. And there we found some brethren, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And thus we came to Rome. And the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as the market of Appius and Three Inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. So Paul and his guard or guards, Luke, and some, if not all, of the people that had been on the ship, that had been at Malta, they probably were part of this Egyptian grain ship that was sailing to Italy. And Luke draws attention to the first century Christians' continual confrontation with idolatry. The ship had twin brothers for its figurehead. And in mythology, those were the sons of Jupiter, whom sailors believed had the power over the wind and the waves. So they sailed about 80 miles due north to Syracuse, the capital city of the Isle of Sicily. And 3 days later, they set sail for Regium, which is on the toe of the boot of Italy. And the following day, they sailed 180 miles to Puteoli, which was the nearest harbor to Rome that could harbor such a large ship. And while in Puteoli, Paul found some brethren. You can see Puteoli there probably at the high part of the boot. I just can't help but wonder who took the gospel there. There had to be people that had been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost from Acts chapter 2 as they were scattered throughout the lands and scattered back to their homes. Undoubtedly, some of the people who had been there went to this place and spread the gospel. Isn't it wonderful that wherever God's children go, they take the gospel with them? You know, the spread of the gospel overseas occurred greatly after World War II. There were many people who made friends and new families when they were overseas. And as a result, they wanted to go back. And they wanted these people to be saved. And so they went back on mission trips, and they went back, some of them, to live so that they could preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people and they could be saved. Well, how did Paul find these people? Well, I thought he was a prisoner. He was. But he had proven himself to be a model prisoner whose guard gave him a great deal of latitude. And he stayed in Puteoli for 7 days. And that was significant to Paul and Luke because they were able to worship with their brethren there. In Acts 28, verse 14, it said, "And thus we came to Rome." And that might be better translated as, "We went toward Rome." And that's what the King James Version says. Now, even though it didn't look like it on that map, it was 150 miles from Puteoli to Rome by following the Appian Highway. And something remarkable happened on Paul's way to Rome. At that time, Paul was probably in his early 60s, and you think of all that he was enduring, all the walking that he was doing, he had to be in pretty good shape. He had longed to travel to Rome in order to encourage the brethren there. But he still was a prisoner. And he was a prisoner who must have wondered if his brethren would be ashamed of him because he was a prisoner. However, the news of Paul's presence in Italy spread very quickly. It had been a long and strenuous walk from Puteoli to the market of Appius. That was 107 miles. But when Paul arrived there, there was a group of Christians waiting for him. And this group of Christians had walked 43 miles to see a man that many of them had never met, but knew him only by his reputation. And you know that as they walked those 43 miles, they realized they were going to have to walk back 43 miles. So they obviously were encouraged and they were excited to see Paul. Do you ever wonder who might have walked that great distance to see Paul? Well, in Romans the 16th chapter, there are a lot of names, and probably some of these people with these names went there. There was Priscilla and Aquila, Epaphras, Mary, Andronicus, and Junius, who was his kinsman, and Pliatus, Urbanus, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, another kinsman of Paul, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas, Philologus, Julia, Nereus, Olympus. That's easy for you to say. I don't know why they didn't have names like John and Bill and so forth. But anyway, those were probably some of the people that went there to see him. And as I stated before, he was getting on up in age some, and he was probably a weary man who had undoubtedly was rather unobtrusive. But I'm certain that they followed the advice that Paul had given them in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, where he said, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." Can you imagine them meeting up with Paul, being so excited, and then turning around and walking 3 miles to three inns or three taverns? And I'm just certain that that walk was much easier for Paul. When he arrived, there was another contingency of Christians, and they were awaiting him. And because of this very special expression of love for him, Paul thanked God, and we're told he took courage. Paul must have walked on the clouds for the last 33 miles to Rome. And you just wonder, did they sing hymns of praise to God as he and Silas had done when they were beaten and imprisoned in Acts chapter 16? Did Paul teach them as they walked along? I can't help but think that he did. I wonder what Paul's guard must have thought about this entourage accompanying him and his prisoner all the way to Rome. You know, really, that could have been a dangerous situation if they'd have turned on him. He did not know how they would be, or the guards, or guard, But they allowed them to go with them, and all of Paul's entourage were very encouraged. Paul knew that this was a tremendous display of love. Paul, when he got to Rome, was permitted to stay in his own rented quarters with a soldier guarding him. And although he was not permitted to go to the synagogue, he invited the Jewish leaders to visit with him in the prison. And Paul told them about his plight, and he invited them to come another day. And he invited them to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most of them did return. And yet we're told that they did not agree. Some believed that what Paul was teaching was correct, and some believed that it was not. It said, the word used there, asymphonoi, means they were out of harmony with one another. And Paul quoted Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 11 to prove the hardness of their hearts. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell this people, keep on listening but do not perceive, keep on looking but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord knew that there were going to be many people, most people, who would not listen to the teaching of God. So for 2 years, Paul remained imprisoned in Rome, and he preached the gospel completely unhindered. Beside talking to his many visitors, Paul also wrote some very important letters while imprisoned. The prison epistles, as we refer to them, Ephesians and Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. And Paul, interestingly, did not waste his time feeling sorry for himself. I don't know how I would have reacted in being placed in prison and then being sent all the way to Rome and then going into prison there. But Paul did not let this bother him. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul writes, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Isn't that an amazing attitude? Here he spoke to everyone he had the opportunity to speak to. He spoke to those who were guards. He spoke to those who were visitors. He spoke to everyone. He shared the good news of Jesus Christ. I can't help but think that if Paul could do that in the circumstances he was in prison, why can't we do that when we are free? Why can't we share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone we see? Paul should be a tremendous source of inspiration when things are difficult for us or when things are difficult for our beloved brethren. Preach the word. Teach the word. Share the word. with everyone you can. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you'll do that. If you want to place membership with us, we certainly welcome you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, we certainly have everything ready for that. Or if you want the prayers of the church to encourage you and strengthen you, then we want to help you. Won't you come while we stand and sing?